You're listening to KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. Stay tuned for Arab Voices next. Good evening, ahlan wa sahlan, and welcome to Arab Voices on Houston's Pacifica Radio, listener-sponsored, commercial-free KPFT 90.1 FM, with live streaming, podcasting, and online archive of previous shows at both kpft.org and arabvoices.net. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of the show. For those who were planning to attend the LSB meeting, the local station board meeting, that has been canceled for today, December 12th. The Houston chapter of the National Arab American Medical Association, NAMA, held its 11th Biennial Bin Qurra Award Gala on October 20th, 2018, right here in Houston. The Biennial Bin Qurra Award Gala celebrates the achievements of prominent scientists of Arab origin who have made major contributions to science, medicine, and healthcare, and it also honors those who have made remarkable contributions in the field of medicine and who have succeeded in the worldwide advancement of science. This year's honorees were Dr. Fadlo Khoury, president of the American University of Beirut and professor of the Department of Hematology and Medical Oncology at the Emory University School of Medicine. And our local honorees here in Houston was Dr. William Zogby, chair of the Department of Cardiology at Houston Methodist Hospital and the Elkins Family Distinguished Chair in Cardiac Health at Houston Methodist DeBakey Heart and Vascular Center. I attended the gala and recorded it, and today on Arab Voices we will air the remarks delivered at that event, including the remarks of Dr. Zaina Al-Muhtasib, NAMA Houston Chapter President, and Dr. Ruba Ali Fahmi, NAMA National President. We will also listen to the remarks of the honorees, Dr. Fadlo Khoury, introduced by Dr. Raymond Sawaya, and Dr. William Zogby, introduced by Dr. Alan Lumsden. So let's listen in, and the voice you will hear first is that of Rania Mancarius, Executive Director of Crime Stoppers of Houston, who was the mistress of ceremonies for the gala.
I would like to welcome Dr. Zaina Al-Muhtasib, current president of the National Arab American Medical Association, Houston chapter, to the podium. Dr. Muhtasib is a trendsetter not only in the Arabic community, but as a leading Houston ophthalmologist. She grew up in Texas and earned a prestigious Plan 2 degree from UT Austin. She graduated from Baylor College of Medicine, medical school, and residency, and was elected chief of her third year. She then attended the number one fellowship in the nation for cornea and refractive surgery at Bascom Palmer. She is able to flourish her love for education and her role as associate residency director at Baylor College of Medicine. She has won multiple awards, including Houston Top Doctors, for 3 years in a row, authored more than 40 scientific publications, and taken an active leadership role by representing at multiple national and international conferences. She has been involved with NAMA since she was a medical student and has been the president of the local chapter since 1997. She has recently welcomed her daughter, Aya Farasan, 9 weeks old. The floor is now yours, Dr. Al-Muhtasib.
Thank you so much. I look younger for having been president for that long, right? So, dear colleagues, friends, and distinguished community members, on behalf of the National Arab American Medical Association Houston Chapter, I would like to extend a warm welcome to all of you for joining us this evening at the 11th Biennial Bin Qurra Award Gala. Bin Qurra is an 8th century Arab physician renowned for his work to modernize mathematics and medicine. This gala is an occasion where we come together to celebrate the achievement of prominent scientists of Arab origin who have made major contributions to science, medicine, and healthcare. Since its inception in 1975, NAMA has been an all-inclusive association that acts as the voice of Arab American healthcare professionals through educational, philanthropic, and service activities. It promotes the professional development and cultural identity of healthcare professionals with roots to the Arab world. And really, the three main aspects of the mission of NAMA has been to provide humanitarian support, advance education, and promote our Arab heritage. So in terms of the humanitarian mission, over the past few years, the Houston chapter has donated thousands of dollars to charities. Unfortunately, as we all know, the suffering of our people all over the Middle East is ever present, and the number of refugees continue to rise. And as a result, this need has never been greater. So the donations, though, are not only to support our people in the Arab world who desperately need us, but also in the communities that we live in here, for example, including the relief efforts in the recent hurricanes. NAMA members are involved by volunteering at local healthcare fairs and lectures. And one of really the main goals of my tenure is the educational mission, because it's really to encourage the young youth and trainees so that organization, our NAMA, can grow from within, because they are the future of NAMA. The past 2 years, we've actually wanted to encourage them with a new renowned sense of purpose. We've done a mentorship and also gave many scholarships to help them succeed. And in addition, the theme this year was women's health, as many of our speakers were women distinguished in their respective fields. But really, lastly, NAMA is a forum for Arab doctors and their families to meet and discuss our common heritage. And in this political climate of divisiveness, this NAMA gala breaks stereotypes. Our awardees show the world that Arab Americans are leaders in medicine, in science, in innovation, and education. And we also promote peace and celebrate life by serving others. The Arab Americans that we're honoring tonight have distinguished themselves in many areas. This year, we're proud to present our local awardee, Dr. William Zorbi, and our national awardee, Dr. Fadlo Khoury. They are trailblazing a path that leaves clear footsteps for our youth to follow, and they provide an example of Arabs contributing to civilization, as did our ancestors. This is a well-deserved recognition. And just to end, because I do not like long speeches, I'd like to thank our underwriter committee, many of whom were past presidents, Dr. Samir Touma, the founder and historian of NAMA, Dr. Aziz Shebani, past president, Dr. Ali Himyari, Dr. Nizar Tanir, Dr. Nicola Hanania, Dr. Hashim Sarag, Dr. Raymond Sawaya, Dr. Kamal Khalil, Dr. Mike Rabia, and Dr. Ray Hashim, truly for their help and guidance in the involvement in the selection process and in sponsorship. I also want to thank the local Houston NAMA chapter officers, Dr. Samih Al-Shahal, who wasn't able to attend tonight, Dr. Muhammad Uthman, your future president, and Dr. Khalid Sunber, who is really our resident representative in the future of this NAMA, for their support throughout my tenure. And of course, I want to thank all the sponsors that Rania has discussed for their support, because this would not have occurred without them. And really, most importantly, I would like to thank Mona Saqer, our gala chair, Lakoya Boon, Luna Madi, and the rest of the gala team who truly made this a reality. I appreciate their help, their hard work, having been pregnant and had a child 2 months ago. Mona and me would be emailing at 3 a.m. Discussing what to do for this gala. So it actually worked out well in terms of timing. But truly, without their support, none of this would have happened. And on a personal note, I'd like to thank my amazing, supportive husband and really a true life partner, Rami Farasin, for everything he does. And my parents, Dr. Nabil Al-Muhtasib and Wafa Abdeen, and my brother Saleh, for always being there, believing in me and making me for who I am. Thank you so much. Please enjoy.
We are pleased to have the National Arab American Medical Association's president, Dr. Ruba Ali Fahmi, with us tonight. Dr. Ali Fahmy has made it her mission during her presidency to attract young and aspiring Arab American healthcare professionals who believe in the association's mission and vision. I'd like to welcome Dr. Ali Fahmy to the podium.
Thank you so much. I'm so pleased to be present here with you, celebrating NAMA in Houston. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you, Dr. Shebani. Thank you, Dr. Zena. The Houston chapter has always been a pillar of this organization. Many previous national president and remark Arab American doctors hail from Houston, not to mention a highly accomplished Arab American community to be proud of. I'm truly honored to join you today to celebrate NAMA at the Bin Kura Award Gala. NAMA is unique in many ways, and in this day and age, NAMA is more relevant than any other time before. Our roots go deep. We are uniting, all-inclusive. We are the only national society representing all Arab American healthcare professionals. Our mission is professional, cultural, educational, philanthropic, and service-oriented. Earlier this year, we launched NAMA Next Gen, an initiative to rally and engage young doctors in training, medical, dental, and undergrad students. NAMA Next Gen goals is to make available to its members resources to help unlock their potential and aspirations to have a career in healthcare. NAMA Next Gen members are our future NAMA leaders. Through NAMA Next Gen, I met wonderful, bright young men and women who are fully of life, energy, and ideas, like the public health student who is leading the charge of obesity research project conducted through NAMA Next Gen members. The medical resident who spent multiple Sundays after a busy week to supervise NAMA medical students at the homeless free clinic in Detroit. I'll never forget Sarah. She drove almost 2 hours to meet me when I was visiting NAMA Atlanta chapter. She inspired me with her story. Coming from Syria as a second-year medical student, working to support her family and put herself in college in pre-med track. She had free clinic in Atlanta. She volunteers there and asked, how else can she contribute to serve the Arab American community through NAMAs? Stories like this make me optimistic. This organization will always be in a good hands. Through NAMA Next Gen initiative, we put together multiple programs and resources. And finally, what I like to tell you that what I like the most about NAMA that each and every member brings their own voice to the table. And together, we make NAMA's voice very louder. It is your contribution and support that allows our organization to do the work it does. Each and every one of you bring a big part to our collective story. Finally, thank you for your support, and please stay engaged and become a member. Thank you.
Dr. Sawaya is a longtime chair of neurosurgery at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, which is where he had the pleasure to meet and work with tonight's honoree. Known throughout the medical community as a renowned and influential neurosurgical oncologist, Dr. Sawaya knows the merits necessary to receive this award, having been the 2014 Bin Kura Award recipient. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Raymond Sawaya.
Thank you very much. Well, good evening, everybody. Zena, I want to congratulate you on a wonderful gala event, on running the committee efficiently, and more importantly, on her newly born child. Congratulations. And William, very proud of your accomplishment. This is a long overdue award for you, so I'm very happy that you're the awardee tonight. It gives me great pleasure and privilege, actually, to introduce our international awardee, Dr. Fadlo Raja Khoury. Dr. Khoury is the 16th president of the American University of Beirut, and he's professor of hematology and medical oncology at the Faculty of Medicine at the AUB. He assumed his presidency on September 1st, 2013, so he has already completed 3 years as president. Prior to joining the AUB, Fadlo was professor and chairman of the Department of Hematology and Medical Oncology at Emory University School of Medicine, where he held the Roberto Gozzetta Distinguished Chair for Cancer Research. He also served as deputy director of the Winship Cancer Institute of Emory University and was the executive associate dean for research at the Emory University of Medicine. And I will say a few more things about what he did for Emory University. Fadlo Khoury was born in Boston, Massachusetts, but raised in Beirut, where his father, Raja Khoury, was dean of AUB's faculty medicine, and his mother, Sumaya Khoury, was a professor of mathematics at AUB. So his roots at the AUB and in Lebanon are very deep and very far. Khoury earned his undergraduate degree at Yale University and his MD at Columbia University in New York. He completed his residency in internal medicine at Boston City Hospital and a fellowship in hematology and medical oncology at Tufts New England Medical Center. He was on the faculty of University of MD Anderson Cancer Center from 1995 to 2002, and this is really where I bonded with Fadlo, and I've missed him ever since he has left. He was a phenomenal thoracic oncologist, and it was a pleasure to have him take care of our patients. Dr. Khoury's ability to build teams to improve outcome for cancer patients helped develop the Winship into a premier translational research institution. He led the recruitment of over 90 faculty to Emory University. He helped oversee an increase in adult cancer patients placed on trial from a little over 100 to over 650 patients per year. And he paved the way for Winship's NCI, National Cancer Institute Comprehensive Cancer Center designation. And what he did for Emory actually is going to be felt and continue decades from this point. Fadlo Khoury is an accomplished molecular oncologist and translational thought leader. His clinical expertise and research are focused on the development of molecular, prognostic, therapeutic, and chemopreventive approaches to improve the standard of care for patients with lung and aerodigestive cancers. He has authored over 375 peer-reviewed articles, 50 editorials, over 100 reviews and chapters. He has served for the last 6 years as editor-in-chief of Cancer, the oldest and one of the most prestigious journals in the field of cancer. His scientific work has been cited over 33,000 times, and his Hirsch, which is the H index of 78, a remarkable recognition of his published work. Fadlo Khoury has also served as a permanent member of multiple peer-reviewed committees for the American Cancer Society, American Society of Clinical Oncology, National Cancer Institute, and he was chair of the National Institutes of Health Clinical Oncology Study Section. Fadlo Khoury's work has been recognized with several major awards, including the Naji Sahyoun Award of the Middle East Medical Assembly for research that has changed the way we think about and treat lung and head and neck cancer. In 2010, he received the Keihong Distinguished Professorship by the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, and in 2013, Richard and Hinda Rosenthal Memorial Award from the American Association for Cancer Research for his pioneering work in developing oncolytic viruses, signal transduction inhibitors, and biomarker-based chemopreventive approaches to lung and aerodigestive cancers. Interestingly, in 2013, he was recognized by the Arab American High Achievers Award by the Alif Society, the major Arab cultural foundation of Georgia, which I would say is a precursor of the Benkura Award that he's receiving tonight. In 2016, actually, I had the privilege and the honor of introducing him with the ALMA, the American Lebanese Medical Association Award, right here in Houston. But Fadlo was a newly selected president at the time. Now, with 3 years behind us or behind him, we can look at what did Fadlo do at the AUB? What his legacy will look like? Fadlo Khoury was motivated to return to Lebanon in 2015, 3 years ago, to assume the position of university president by his and his family's strong and deep personal connections to the country and the university, and his appreciation of AUB's enormous impact on the Arab world and its role as a fundamental driver of the American liberal art ethos in the region. His priorities have informed the $650 million Boldly AUB fundraising campaign that the university launched in January 2017 to strengthen its research and educational missions and develop state-of-the-art campus and medical facilities. And you will be pleased to hear, and probably Fadlo will tell you more about it, that he has raised two-thirds of this amount by today. AUB's renewed focus on health and well-being is also reflected in AUB's Health 2025 vision to establish the first health sciences campus in the Arab region to make AUB a global player in health. Under Fadlo's leadership, AUB has reintroduced academic tenure, and formed partnerships with peer universities in Lebanon and the world, including Emory, Johns Hopkins, Descartes in Paris, St. Joseph University, Trinity College in Dublin, and University College in London. Fadlo Khoury is also leading Vision 2030, a far-reaching plan to make AUB a university that is even more strongly defined by its liberal arts ethos in education, excellence in research, compassionate medical care, and an abiding commitment to Lebanon and the Arab world. Well, that's 3 years, probably work that can be done in 10 years. Fadlo, we're so proud of you. Please come forward.
Thank you very much. I actually had a very nice speech. I'm going to drop it, and I want to say thank you to all of you. Thank you, Ray. I remember exactly when I met Ray. We were actually having lunch at Cafe Lily, which I pointed out to Angela Khoury and Abdullah Rasi today. And, you know, I knew who Ray was. He was one of the world's greatest, and still is one of the world's greatest, tumor neurosurgeons, and he's pioneered treatment. In the middle of the call, middle of lunch, he got a phone call for someone who had a cardiac condition, and he said, excuse me. He's always polite. He then proceeded to get the patient referred and taken care of. And, you know, I was very impressed. Certainly you don't see that all that much in Boston. And afterwards, I said, Dr. Sawaya, did you know this person who called you? He said, no, but they needed help. They needed help. So that is really the ethos of medicine. Medicine is a field where you are fortunate to help those less fortunate. Medicine is the quintessence of the obligation of privilege. Every one of us in this room has the privilege of serving those less fortunate. It has been, for me, a profound honor, whether it at MD Anderson, where I had a wonderful ride, great role models in Ray, in Hagop Kantarjian, in Esam Rad, and others to basically concentrate on being a physician and a researcher and an educator. And then at Emory, where I had more of an administrative role, so something has to shrink. Usually it's your clinical practice. And then after a while, you realize that someone else is mostly running your lab for you. The next thing you know, you're giving 6 lectures to medical students and 4 lectures to fellow, and suddenly it's shrinking each year because you're too busy, or you're told you're too busy. I think probably it was because I wasn't the best teacher, unlike my late father. But it's still a privilege, and I have to say that I want to thank Huda for helping persuade Philip to let me have 2 clinics a month. It's a wonderful thing to be in the clinic with cancer patients. I think if you talk to the folks on the 5th floor of College Hall, they'll tell you I have extra energy that day. Medicine is really a distillation of the ultimate profession. It's the opportunity to work with people who in many, many fields, in the neurological diseases and cancer and some of the more severe cardiovascular diseases, you have to remind yourself every day, even if you've had a paper rejected or your kid didn't get into their first choice program, your patient's best days are generally worse by quite a bit than your worst days. So you learn to discipline yourself. You discipline yourself in the clinic, in the lab, in the lecture hall, to be on your best behavior. And you're inspired by your patients. You're inspired by your colleagues. I was very fortunate. I had nothing but wonderful role models and wonderful partners, whether in research or in patient care. And it took me a long time to realize just how lucky I was. Frankly, that started when, on the 4th attempt, Lemia agreed to marry me. Then I felt and continue to feel I'm the luckiest person in the world. But the opportunity in the late 80s to take care of patients with HIV and with cancer when we had so little to offer them made me realize that we had to do better. And do better we have as a profession. I think medicine and nursing has been powered by great science. And at the end of the day, science is what drives things. So if you think back to Thabit bin Qurra, he was a leader in the 9th and 10th century in the glory days of the Arabs during the Abbasid era, arguably the greatest scientific and literary and philosophic explosion of Arab thought. That lasted all the way until the 15th century when Isabella and Ferdinand decided to drive out first the Jews and then the Arabs out of Spain, which had become really the center of Arab thought. But for Thabit bin Qurra, he was on a roll. He did philosophy and math and medicine. He became the physician of the Khalifa, the Caliph. He could do anything he wanted. And if you read the texts, and we're lucky because one of the smarter things I think we've done at AUB the last year is to appoint certainly one of the 2 or 3, if not the greatest Abbasid historians of all, in Nadia al-Sheikh as our Dean of Arts and Sciences. And I think for our trustees, for Huda Zoghbi, for Philip Khoury, for myself, for Naomi Sabbagh, the idea of having elite scholars as our deans of all our faculties, whether Nadia al-Sheikh or Muhammad Saig, who's received this award, or Alan Shahadi in engineering, or most recently Rabia Mahtar, is very important. Because the most important people, frankly, in the room are always the students. The students, and I think we have an AUB table or two, I'm not sure. Can the AUB graduates just stand up? I know we have quite a few from several generations. So I fell in love with the university when I was a boy. I learned to ride bicycles there. Most of the people I admired were there. Even the person who led the first strike against my father, where's Hagop, is there. But there was something else that was magical about the university. It was the fact that the students understood that they were there to learn, to make a difference, to become well-rounded, thoughtful individuals, and then to reach out to those less fortunate. The first time the power of that sensation struck me, I was 10. I was a good elementary school student at least, and one of our projects then before the war, when Lebanon was incredibly safe, some of us were approached about whether we wanted to or would be willing to teach in the Palestinian refugee camps and in the southern district of Beirut for about £5 an afternoon. That was a lot of money. My allowance was £2. And I was curious because, you know, you'd read about these camps and you didn't know anything. So I said, sure, I'll go. I did that for 8 years. Those kids gave me more than I gave them. The idea that you can impact someone's life by teaching them math or English, much less in college philosophy or history or a language, is just incredible. There is nothing like that brilliant young mind who wants more. And that's what AUB is about. For 152 years, this university has really stood for the introduction of opportunity, of knowledge, of open-mindedness, and since the failure of the Presbyterian founders to proselytize much more than a few families, including seemingly all of my relatives, a secular liberal arts education that's really changed the world. AUB has graduated more people who helped write the UN Charter on Human Rights, who've led nations in the Arab world, including beyond the Arab world, the current president of Afghanistan, who've created businesses, led universities, played a major role in the medical center. If you look at the wonderful Texas Medical Center, it's dotted with our graduates and those of San Jose. But during the years of the Lebanese Civil War, AUB was wounded. People had to leave because they were threatened. People had to be careful because danger was everywhere. And so the university took a strategic decision to pull back. Pull back. Pull back because the body politic in the country wasn't safe. Pull back because this was not Thabit bin Qurra's Abbasid era. This was closer to the retreat from the Andalus. This was the dark side, certainly of Levantine history, to follow the dark side of Arab history. And that strategy continued in the post-war years. We taught people, we graduated some of the finest medical students, we took care of the sickest patients, we did really high-quality research, but we shied away from impacting Lebanon and the Arab world as we had done for so long when we graduated leaders, people who could make a difference, change agents, if you want. So I felt, frankly, particularly blessed to serve on the board of trustees with people like Naime and Huda and Michael Collins and Philip Khoury and Talal al-Sha'ir and so many wonderful people, Rima Khalaf. But I think we had a determination as a board that this was the era that AUB needed to leave its walls, to go out, to influence events and people, and to make a change. And I think that's especially true in the area of health and medicine. If you look today at the health of the Arab world, 65% of people are under the age of 35. The level of illiteracy is going up. We have the lowest per capita spending of any part of the world, including Africa, on research and development. I showed a depressing slide in September which showed that which country do you think has the highest per capita spending on R&D? Israel, 4.3%. The U.S. has done it for a long time, 2.7%. The peak of the Arab countries was Saudi Arabia, which got to 0.9% but has dropped to 0.75. Lebanon, Jordan, other countries, 0.15 to 0.2. That's a staggering number. You think about how American science and medicine became great. It was through recruiting the best and brightest Europeans, Central Europeans, and Far East Asians, and indeed some people from Lebanon and Palestine and Syria and Iraq and others, because America was welcoming, because America, even though it was an isolationist period after Woodrow Wilson, America had pulled back, but America was still welcoming. Well, America's not as welcoming, I'm afraid, these days. And the Arab world still needs so much to move on, to move up. I think we can do it. I'm not just giving this from the perspective of a thoracic oncologist who entered a field where the median survival of lung cancer was about 3 months when we first started, and now even for metastatic disease, it's closer to 14 to 18 months. And more people are being cured with cancer. Brain tumor patients living 5 years, something inconceivable to me. But I do think that the tools are there for us to make a difference. And some of those tools are in this room. We've decided strategically on behalf of AUB to reach out. We've partnered, as Ray was mentioning, with the other great university in Lebanon, the University Saint Joseph, with great partners abroad. We've agreements with Hopkins and Emory. We're talking to Harvard. We've got University College London, Paris Descartes, but also East. Peking University is interested in partnering with us. We're interested in recruiting, when we're in steady state in 6 or 7 years, 100 of the very best and brightest kids from Lebanon, Syria, Palestine, and Iraq to put them in college together, to have them dorm together, ideally 50 men, 50 women, and to train the leaders of tomorrow for the Arab world. We're partnering with the press. We just came up with a special issue of An-Nahar, where we brought experts from 120 experts, many of them are alumni, to write not just opinions, but potential solutions in the area of health and the arts and civil society and constitutional law. So I'm confident, I'm not just optimistic 3.5 years in, that we can all make a difference. The great American jurist Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, many people die with their music still inside them, unplayed. I was very, very fortunate. I'm still very fortunate. At MD Anderson, at Emory, I got to play my music. Now my mission and our mission is to allow so many young people, including the folks who train at AUB and go abroad and at others, to hear their music and not just in their head. For that, we need your help, because I'd like to think that there will be another golden era, another era where Athabit bin Qurra and others can emerge, another Abbasid-like era for us as Arabs. And one of the things that you're doing here with Na'ma, and I like to call it Na'ma instead of Nama, is you are weaving the bonds of common culture. I was never one day not proud to be an Arab or to be Lebanese. Not one day of my life. I was very proud, and I'm still very proud, to be an Arab, an Arab-American. We raised our 3 kids to be proud. So that when September 11th and other painful events happened, the kids knew who they were. They say that to know who you are, you have to know where you come from. And so your message is an important one. It's an important one for all of us, but it has to continue. It has to resonate by creating opportunity for those less fortunate. So I want to thank you for this tremendous honor. I'm deeply touched on my behalf, on behalf of the American University of Beirut, which deserves all the credit. And I know that you'll help us make sure that so many people don't go to their end without their music unplayed. Thank you.
Now I would like to ask Dr. Alan Lumsden to make his way to the podium to introduce tonight's 2018 Local Bancorp Award honoree, Dr. William Zoghbi. Dr. Lumsden is the medical director of the Houston Methodist DeBakey Heart and Vascular Center and a professor and chairman of the Department of Cardiovascular Surgery. Dr. Lumsden has had the pleasure of collaborating at the Houston Methodist with Dr. Zoghbi for nearly a decade. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Alan Lumsden.
Well, good evening. Those are two pretty tough acts to follow in terms of making an address to you tonight, but I'm going to try. Dr. Khoury, first of all, let me congratulate you. I think you and I moved from Emory to Houston. I think the same time as you were moving from Houston up to the Winship Cancer Center. You know, I think Atlanta probably got the best out of that deal, so congratulations. And I know how highly regarded the Winship Cancer Center is and what your achievements were, so again, congratulations. Let me just echo some of the things that were said earlier, is that I'm the only non-Lebanese guy who's going to be addressing you tonight, but I'm an immigrant just like everybody else is, and I really always like to take the opportunity to endorse what was said in that there are very few countries in the world where immigrants could come and be allowed to achieve based upon their merits. And for that, you know, I think all of us, and myself in particular, are eternally grateful for the United States for being given that opportunity. I stand here tonight really representing everybody from Methodist Hospital, and in particular from the Methodist DeBakey Heart and Vascular Center, who think you've made a wonderful choice. I think unanimously we're incredibly proud basically of what Bill Zogby has achieved. I first met him basically when we were both working at Baylor, and I'm really delighted that so many of our Baylor colleagues basically are here, and we continue to really enjoy basically that working relationship. Bill has many achievements, but there's no question his single biggest achievement happens to be sitting at the table in terms of basically marrying Huda Zogby. It's usual when he comes to these meetings, he's Huda's husband, but tonight basically she is Bill Zogby's wife, so congratulations. So let me tell you a little bit, and some of this is in your program. Bill is the Elkins Family Distinguished Chair in Cardiac Health and Professor of Medicine and Chairman of the Department of Cardiology, a relatively new department. This is a department basically which we created cardiology as a department, and he followed his longtime partner, Miguel Quinones, in establishing this department. And that department basically has flourished and has continued to grow and basically under Bill's leadership. Really, when you've got somebody of his stature, it becomes relatively easy to recruit top-level people. And that really is what this game basically is all about when you get to this kind of level. We all know about the three-legged stool of academia, research, education, and clinical care. But in our world, there's really one big leg, and that is clinical care. If you get that wrong, everything else basically goes to hell in a handbasket. And I think Bill basically represents the epitome of a top-line clinical cardiologist, in addition to someone who can achieve both in research, as you can read, basically extensive role basically in education of up-and-coming cardiologists and medical students in general. So a little bit about his background. He was born in Beirut, Lebanon, attended the American University of Beirut. Now, I can't believe the number of people basically who are here tonight who have graduated from Beirut. I always think that the Lebanese and the Scots are somewhat similar. We're a little feisty. We're very passionate about what we're doing, and that gets us in trouble every now and again. But by and large, basically, and we don't like basically wasting time, but they've populated the world. The Lebanese basically are across the world. They're merchants, they're doctors. I think the Scots basically are much the same idea. So we're kind of good partners from that standpoint. And so Bill basically attended AUB, where he started medical school. And with the escalation of the war, completed his studies in the United States. First of all, he went to Meharry. And then basically moved down to UTMB and basically did his internship at UTMB. After UTMB, he moved up to Baylor. And he's essentially basically been in Houston ever since then. So a long-time citizen of Houston and tremendous impact basically upon the local community and also the cardiology community nationally and internationally. He trained in both medicine and cardiology at Baylor College of Medicine and then joined the faculty from 1985 to 2005, where he had yet another personal chair, the John S. Dunn Professor of Medicine. And in 2005, he joined Houston Methodist and was appointed the chair of the department in 2016. I take great credit for this. I happened to chair the search committee when Bill basically applied for the job, and we had tremendous applications from the top-line cardiologists basically across the country. But it was pretty obvious early on that we really didn't have to look too far to find a guy that we needed to take cardiology to yet another level. And that really was Bill Zogby. So we wasted a tremendous amount of money bringing people in to interview because Bill was pretty obvious that he was the guy that we were going to have from fairly early on. So he's a leader in cardiology, but is renowned in cardiac imaging. And that really, imaging in our world drives diagnosis drives the therapy. What's very different about how our heart center is constructed is that Bill and Mike Quinones basically built this department of imaging. We own the imaging from MRs to CTs. We have a new recruit here tonight on PET CT. And all of that is inside and run by the clinicians of the Heart and Vascular Center. And that makes it very easy for us to collaborate and to do research. He's authored more than 300 original publications and has been invited to lecture basically at almost every major cardiology conference around the globe. and was president of the American Society of Echocardiography. That's basically what he is renowned for, and has chaired many of the national committees which set the guidelines. For those of you not involved directly in medicine, when you're asked to chair a committee to set the national guidelines, that is the epitome of reaching the upper echelons of your particular specialty. And Bill has done this on many different occasions. And has an extensive background training over 100 cardiology fellows. Probably the highlight of his academic career is that in 2012, he was appointed as the president of the American College of Cardiology. That is the single biggest cardiovascular association in the world. And to be asked to be honest, I went to his, not when he was inaugurated, there was everything there except white smoke coming out the top of the Sistine Chapel, because it looked like the Pope was about to be inaugurated. And that was our guy who was kind of walking down the aisle basically to be inaugurated. It was an enormous event and incredibly prestigious. So he was the first foreign-born cardiologist, and that's amazing, quite honestly, to head the organization since its inception some 65 years earlier. And during his presidency, he focused on patient-centered care, and he spearheaded the launch of CardioSmart. Now, for those of you who don't know, this is an extensive website in which you can get information about cardiovascular disease. The whole idea was to provide the latest information on heart health to the public. Now, he got to carry the Olympic torch. That's what I'm very envious of him. He got to carry the Olympic torch in 2012 on the heart of heart health and represented the global cardiovascular community. There's a great picture of him at the United Nations standing behind that podium. But he's continued to be involved internationally in education and be involved with Lebanon. And he's maintained strong ties with the Lebanese Cardiology Society, the AUB, and the Middle East region. He established a chapter for the American College of Cardiology in Lebanon in 2012 and coordinated several joint American-Lebanese educational symposia. He chaired a new ACC conference for the Middle East, which went, there were over 1,500 attendees from the region. And in 2012, remarkable, received the National Order of the Cedar from the President of the Republic of Lebanon. I think we heard earlier about the privilege of leadership and the privilege of taking care of patients. And it is. I run a meeting where we have a lot of engineers there. And you and I take for granted the privilege of treating patients on a daily basis. It's what we do. And we assume that that's what everyone does. That's not what everyone gets to do. When you stand up in front of non-physicians, particularly engineers, and explain to them a problem, that they suddenly realize they have the knowledge to solve. You see the light bulbs going off, because it's very empowering for non-medical people to actually see how they can actually impact people. And it helps refresh the appreciation that I've got for the privilege of being able to do that. Nelson Mandela also said that talked about the obligation of leadership. And that's a very interesting concept when you think about it. It's not your right to waste your capabilities for leadership. And I think that Bill Zogby is one of those people who has that capability for leadership, and certainly he has not wasted it. He's incredibly influential in our organization. He's been incredibly influential regionally, nationally, and internationally. I really want to thank you on behalf of all of us at Methodist for honoring Bill tonight. There's nobody that I can think of that deserves this more from our community than Bill Zogby. Bill, please join me in the podium. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan, for your very kind words and really your partnership at Houston Methodist. I think this is what collaboration is about. If you have a vision to push the boundaries of health and healthcare and education and research, and I think you've been an amazing partner. I'm honored and humbled, actually, to receive the Bencora Award. And thank you, Zena, and the Awards Committee for this honor, Mona Sakar, and your gala committee. Thank you for an amazing evening with all of us together enjoying this wonderful place. So let us give them a hand, please. I also feel specially privileged tonight to share the podium with Dr. Fadlu Khoury. You've heard him tonight. He has made such an outstanding contributions, not only to the field of oncology, where really he has changed the approach to oncology and to the oncology patient. But he's truly reshaping education, the education landscape, not only in Lebanon, but the whole Middle East, through his work as president of the AUB. And it's really a privilege, Fadlu, to be here together with you, being honored tonight. This particular award means a great deal to me, as it connects this present, my present, with my past. I grew up in Ghazir, Lebanon. For those of you who may not know, It is a small city north of Beirut, nestled between the sea and the mountains. This is where I learned to love nature at an early age. My father was a devoted gardener who taught me the quiet magic of cultivation. My mother, on the other hand, gave me my first lessons in cardiac anatomy. She would dissect the heart when I asked her of basically hearts of animals that she would bring from the butcher. And she'd always remind me, even up to this age, that she was actually my teacher in cardiac anatomy, and I love it. Both my parents were humanitarians, and they had a great sense of responsibility. They taught me importance of education, striving for excellence, altruism, and the sense of community. Now, community can be given a function where you're born, but it can also be chosen or fortuitous, as it must be when one is an immigrant or a refugee. In my case, I never considered making my home anywhere but Lebanon. The AUB, and you've heard so much about it, wonderful things tonight, provided me then with the needed foundation in higher education, and this is where I met my love, Huda. But during the first year of medical school at AUB, the Civil War erupted. Two of my classmates that year were wounded with shrapnel. As it slowly dawned on us that it was dangerous to stay in Beirut, I and many of my friends sent out dozens of applications to medical schools in Europe and in America to try to transfer. And that was during medical school, almost an impossibility. The only place that was taking transfer students was Meharry Medical College. And if you don't know, it is a traditionally African-American medical school in Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm so grateful for Meharry Medical College to accept me. So off I went 41 years ago. I was very naive then, but the experience of a totally new culture taught me a great deal. I was fortunate that I could dive into my studies, that I had a purpose in life that gave me stability while so much else in life was up in the air. The adaptability, perseverance, and regards for community that I learned served me well. I think my traditional values made me a better physician also. As a physician, you meet people at their most vulnerable time. Having been vulnerable myself has made me more empathetic and curious about human differences. I'm so grateful that NAMA carries on the work of honoring the best of Arab culture through its community work, its sponsorship of educational and exchange programs. The Texas Medical Center, really the largest in the world, Houston Methodist, and the Houston community, and many of them are here, actually. This is the Houston community, have greeted students and physicians from the Middle East and throughout the globe with open arms, making it possible to continue their education here just as I did, and I was fortunate, decades ago. I'm proud to see the diversity of our trainees and faculty, and many of them are here tonight. They are indeed our emerging leaders, whether they stay here or return to the Middle East and get hired by Dr. Fadlo Khoury at the American University of Beirut. They are the ones who will carry the torch of enlightenment for the next generation. It is important to recognize, and I'm not sure you do, that close to 30% of physicians and trainees in the United States over the years, more than 20 years now, are international medical graduates. And these trainees actually are involved both in clinical as well as research. As a physician, educator, and a leader, I am really concerned that recent immigration policies might prevent this exchange of knowledge, hinder innovation and research, and reduce the quality of care, not only in the United States, but in the world as we exchange knowledge and exchange trainees and physicians. Closer to home, I want to thank the people who generously shared their time and skills to help me become the best doctor I could be. Throughout my career here in Houston, first at Baylor College of Medicine, then at Houston Methodist, I've had superb mentors, such as Mike Quinones, and you've heard about him through Dr. Lumsden, Bill Winters, who could not be with us tonight, and the late Michael DeBakey. I've also been surrounded by brilliant colleagues and the best trainees one could wish for. Many of them are here tonight. Their support has enabled me to innovate, take better care of patients, and advocate for healthcare around the world. My work with the American College of Cardiology reinforced my conviction that you can indeed make a difference through education and policy changes. My bedrock, though, always lies in my family. My parents were a role model of love and selfless giving, and they were behind actually encouraging me to travel abroad for education and training, although it is hard for them to see me go. Closer to home, Huda, the love of my life and my superhero, has been my strongest supporter and my inspiration over the years. She's always been there for me. And I'm so proud of our daughter, Rula, who's here tonight with her husband, Tyler, and son, Anthony, and Zina, his lovely wife, who could not be here with us tonight, and their families. I have to tell you also that Huda and I are very proud to be grandparents, and we love this role. Their love and support and encouragement are always felt. They are as much as my friends as my children, and I share this wonderful honor tonight with all of them. Thank you very much.
What you just heard on Arab Voices were the remarks delivered at the 11th Biennial Bin Qurra Award Gala held on October 20th, 2018, by the Houston chapter of the National Arab American Medical Association. Congratulations to the honorees, Dr. Fadlo Khoury and Dr. William Zoghbi, and congratulations to NAMA, the National Arab American Medical Association Houston chapter, for its continued success and all the work that it does. For more information on that organization, you can visit their website, and that's aama-houston.org. And one more reminder that the local station board for KPFT that's scheduled for this evening, December 12th, has been canceled. So there is no LSB meeting tonight. And that does it for the show today. Thanks for listening. People of Earth is coming up next. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next week, peace on Earth.
Tell it on the mountain. Go talk it to the seashore. Whisper it in the breeze. Say it wherever you please. But it's a secret that needs to get out. So tell a friend that you heard it on KPFT. It's a secret that should be shouted out. From the highest overpass to the bends in the bayou, you heard it on KPFT. If it's worth hearing, if it's worth discussing, KPFT gets the word out. So tell a friend to turn on, tune in, and listen to radio for your mind. Call 713-526-5738 to sign up a friend today. Thank you for supporting KPFT Houston, listener-sponsored radio for peace.